Welcome to Drink Champs, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio.
And it's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast. Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What a good beat. Hopefully it's what it should be. This is your boy, N-A-O-L-A-A.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Champs motherfucking Yappy Hour. Make some noise!
Drink Champs.
This goddamn loyalty got me feeling pretty good.
I'm sorry to be all over the place, but...
Take your time.
DMX was the hottest at that time. Mm-hmm. So everyone deals with these discrepancies of people saying when you sign to an artist.
Artist, right.
When you sign to an artist. Was that something you faced immediately, or that something that...
I don't know. I was a kid. Like, my fondest memories with X is like, X an ill nigga. I remember X went to Foot Locker and ain't buy me no damn shoes or whatever. He went in there and bought himself a bunch of shoes and didn't buy me no damn shoes. I was his artist when I was a kid. But,
yeah, you were shorty too, so you wanted shit. You gotta earn your stripes.
DMX stole my first piece of pussy that I ever was gonna get.
I need to hear this story, sir.
So,
first in your life?
Yes. I almost lost my virginity, but DMX stole my pussy.
That's a...
Sounds like a
Yonkers nigga. So we're in Toronto, Canada. I'm with him. He's filming a movie with Steven Seagal, Exit Wounds. Mm. We're out there. We going crazy. Like, X is on top of the world. So we go to this club because, you know, X love to play pool. Mm. So we... Like, he bought out this whole little club and had bitches. Like, it was like we were the only niggas there, but it was full of bitches. Mm. So X was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Do you, shorty, you know, I like that little look for you. I'm upstairs. This is my first time, like, finger fucking a girl. Like, I'm finger banging a girl inside the club, like, smelling this, scratching this, getting my whole little vibe on. We get back to the hotel. We staying at the Sutton Place Hotel. So X had the big penthouse suite. I don't know, for some reason, because I was his artist, he put me in like the regular room right next to him. So you know how this shit go. I'm in an entourage, so the artist, you know, X drive like a madman, so he get there before us. He go upstairs with his vibe or whatever. I guess his vibe didn't work out. I stayed in the car for the rest, for like Ali and all the other people to like take me upstairs. I go upstairs. I never forget. I mean, I think it was me and PK. You remember PK that made me some rough ride?
Yeah.
We go up. I get off the elevator or whatever, and I got the girl with me. I'm talking about, I'm literally putting the key inside the hotel door and X room open. He like the nigga's like a dog for real in real life. Like, the nigga, he opened the door. As soon as I'm walking in my, he like, yo, hey, Ma, I think you left your purse in my room. Mind you, we met these bitches at the club. He ain't never been to his hotel or none of that shit. The bitch goes in DMX room and he took
and
my first
never
piece
seen
of pussy.
God damn it. Big support for that. I bet you that chick somewhere needing a beat right now. She probably need a hit maker beat in her life right now.
Man, God bless her. You missed your blessing.
You missed your blessing.
What a way to go through puberty with DMX.
I forget. I'm forgetting. This is an interview. This shit is more like...
No, this is family gathering.
This shit is like...
It's family gathering, bro.
If you're gonna try what I'm drinking, you're welcome.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
please say something.
So I've done interviews in my lifetime, but Nori, he a special one.
Yes.
Because he know how to like get you right. And then he gonna get all the right shit.
Yeah.
And then he gonna come, but it's gonna come in like, and then it just... With a question, you look at him like, damn. So you're not mad at him, but you're like, that
damn.
Was good. That was like, you know, like Jordan, he got a certain way to, you know, even The man will can bounce and turn around and still, like, you know what I'm saying? This man Nori just came with some so much shit. And then while you're doing it, after, like, some shit, like a theory or something, you take a shot. And you're like, fuck it, you're taking a toast or some shit. You don't even know what the fuck going on. So it's like,
then you're like, yo,
then everybody cool in the background laughing and shit. Then you're like, oh, shit, this camera's on, too. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what we doing. This is new shit. Now, this is new shit I'm chancing.
Nah, you know what?
A lot of artists can't say this. You guys not only got records with Dr. Dre, but you guys are actually in the studio. You guys made classics with Dr. Dre. It's only a handful of people that can say they was in the studio with Dr. Dre and made over 10 records with him.
Right.
It's like maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 people in the whole world. It's a universe. How is that working with Dr. Dre? Is it pressure?
Learning experience. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Shut the fuck up and just listen. And you know what I'm saying? And when he leave, then you go back and mess with all the shit he been doing on the board and stuff. Mm. That's what we used to do.
That's real. That's Dr. Dre, nigga.
When I was young, it was just, I had a point to prove, so. Right. My point was to prove it to Dr. Dre, so. Mm. Dr. Dre was my inspiration to just go on ham. Mm. Nowadays, there is some pressure because Dr. Dre, you know, he expects a certain thing from you.
If you say and, he wants you to say and.
And.
Yeah, he wants you to get it right. Yeah, go in there and do it 50 right. million times.
There's a little bit of pressure now because satisfying Dr. Dre as easy as when a nigga was young. You know what I'm saying? Because he expects something out of it.
I ain't gonna front. The Who Can You Call segment is demon.
Who can that's all right. You know what, Davies? It's not even a new segment of the show. This is a new show that me and you are producing.
I'm out here, man. I'm outside.
Make some noise for that. We doing a Harlem episode, so it was so dope to, you know what I mean, to have you check in with your young homie Davies. Oh my God, man!
What's going on?
Oh shit, Davies, you might have won. Tell me, Kiss ain't not giving me no points.
They got me on the drink, champs. We doing a Who Can You Call?
He's good.
That's what we doing? Oh, Ja Rule! Yeah. I'm gonna let how you call it? Respond.
I'm in the booth right now.
Having a segment called Who Can You Call, and I think you just made me win. Thank you so much, Kenny Smith. All right, my brother.
Ayo, Capo.
What's up? Harlem. You gonna make it urgent? How do you do that?
Make it urgent. You gotta keep calling. You gotta keep calling.
Oh, we got to win.
You pick up for Nori. Everybody make some noise for Method Man. What's going on?
My nigga. My nigga.
I ain't know we call it OG of G's. Yeah. Oh shit, DJ Khaled. That's what I did. No!
Ice-T, Snoop, Mary, Nas, Kiss,
Meth.
That's like they all pulled up.
I was so scared to call.
The show's 4 years old.
Hey, yo, Simon should have called him.
You the one, though.
This shit with a
Black is king, baby.
You know what happens when shit comes out? Everybody's gonna be like, yo, call me. Call me, watch.
No, Black is king.
What's up, it's DJ EFN, Drink Champs. Right now, you're about to catch an inside look at our first Quarantine Champs episode. Let's go, come on. Quarantine Champs. We've been talking for years about creating some kind of hip hop union or something that takes care of the pioneers and the architects of the culture and everybody moving forward.
Yeah, I just
yeah,
I just had a real interesting conversation with Swizz about that. You know, on my IG live, I do this thing, you know, every day at like 5 o'clock. We talk 5 o'clock East Coast and West Coast, and we talk. And me and Swizz was talking about, you know, Swizz was saying that, you know, he wanted to raise, you know, $100 million to, you know, to take care of some of the founders and the pioneers and the medical and the things that are important. And I have to agree with him. I would definitely donate to something like that. Obviously, you know, it has to be, you know, transparent and it needs to be vetted and taken care of, which I know it would be. But I'm in agreement. I think that the pioneers definitely need to, and the founders need to be looked after and respected. That's why I've decided that, you know, I told Swizz and I made a pledge that as I build Rock the Bells, and because it's going to be a lot bigger and a lot more to come than what you guys are seeing now. Right now, you just kind of hear the radio station and you're not sure, but there's going to be a whole platform and thing that's coming. I'm going to give a piece of Rock the Bells as a company. I'm going to make sure that some of the founders and the pioneers have equity and have a piece of this and have ownership in it. I'm going to do what I can and make my pledge to keep moving the culture forward and keep contributing and keep giving. So, yeah, I'm with Swizz 100 million% on that. And I also
just
think,
so you know, we started that 4 years ago.
Not only did you start the conversation, but it's the right thing. Like, listen, each iron sharpens iron, right?
Yep.
And any good idea you have is going to go to another level. And I think that you did. You should take credit for that because you have been giving the guys their flowers and bringing people on, proving that people still had viable fan bases, even though they weren't at the top of the charts at the moment. And I think that you've been very instrumental in keeping the culture moving forward and keeping our, you know, like my generation, you're a little younger, but my generation and your generation connected to the people that they love. So, you know, I respect that 100%. So, yeah, I'm with Swizz on that. I think it's great. And it's not to knock the youth. Like, the youth and the new generation of artists, like the Offsets and the, you know, the DaBaby and, you know, and Tory Lanez and, you know, Lil Baby and NBA YoungBoy and all of the different, they have the right to succeed and have success and get their paper and be kids and live life. They got that right. But as men, as we grow up, we got to think about some other things too.
You know, we should set the foundation for them to get to grow older and not have to worry as well, or have something. Because I always say, like, I refer to SAG, like something like a SAG. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's the right reference, but I feel like, you know, whatever
it is,
out of it, you know, whatever.
I've had some preliminary conversations in that area. You know,
we need something bigger than SAG. And not only that, I think it should fit like a criteria, like how we do on Drink Champs. Like if you have 10 years or more, then we interview you on Drink Champs. I feel like it's the same way. Like if a person has been working in hip hop for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, maybe he didn't hit the platinums that L hit. Maybe he didn't hit the shit that Jay-Z hit. Maybe he just had, you know, a gold single or whatever. But he gave that same blood, sweat and tears of us. And he gets 100%. Sick. and he gets sick, I feel like it should be people that step up.
Look, you take a guy like Special Ed. Special Ed made a huge contribution to the culture. He didn't necessarily have 1,000 albums and 1,000 hits, but those records were really important.
Yes, yes.
And they, you know, and meant a lot to all of us.
Yep.
So, you know, like, yes, absolutely. Rob Bass, guys like that. Like, listen, like, it's not, you know, everybody's not going to have hit after hit after hit, just like everybody ain't going to have 20 Grammys. You know, some people get the things happen and you get a run and it is what it is. But we should look out for everybody. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
And
for
guys, and this is where I think where I think a little differently also is that not even just the pioneers, but like I said, even the younger guys coming in who aren't thinking about having insurance or having this or having, look at COVID-19, how it's hitting people and maybe they weren't prepared for it. And they were an artist. If as a culture and as an industry, we said, look, this is what you can pay into the minute you get in, and then you have insurance and you have,
you
this.
Know what?
This
is the type I think of what you're saying is right. I think, you know, I think that that's there's a bigger conversation that needs to be had about that. I think that that's something that really needs to be thought about. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole idea of putting something together where there's, you know, financial literacy, where there's insurance, where there's, you know, some sort of annuity thing that, you know, is deducted from royalties, where there's something that kind of, you know, gives the youngsters an opportunity to have something. So when they finish going through their gold chain Rolls Royce phase, they got something left.
If it wasn't, in a lot of ways, if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be a Capone and Noriega. I'm honored to be celebrated 25 years.
Congratulations.
One of the most greatest albums.
Thank you.
One of the most greatest albums. That's why you heard that. I told you I was supposed to pop it. But we celebrating for you right now, Hav. We're going to have a drink.
Cheers.
Don't make the noise for the HAV. Yo, so Hav.
Because I wanted my mom to find me, and she found me in the show. Just like that.
In Dominican Republic, like how it happened in the show?
Just like that, bro.
That's a part that made me cry, and I'm going to tell you another part that made me cry.
You got to cry. Let
me tell you. No, you crying and shit.
I cry. Listen, I'm going to tell you when I cry. I'm going to tell you when I cry.
You and I.
When you.
I am here with you.
I'm going to give you a story, man.
Yeah, let's go.
Chill.
Let's go.
Yeah. Right?
Exclusive.
I unbutton this shit. It's on.
It listen.
So, I DMX, real shit, I watched DMX. Shout out to my man, Den 10.
Mm. Right. Shout out to Den 10.
Growing up from Harlem, we went around. DMX, he lived in around our hood. Like, they had put him like in his building to, you know, chill out for...
He had dog.
He had his dog, okay. Right? Boom, continue. Right? So he battling on the corner now, mind you, battling all the niggas around there, right?
Hold on, he battled Den?
He battled Den on the block, on the 121st, right? 7th Avenue.
Mm-hmm. I don't even understand how classic that is, but
right? He battled him, and the nigga, he do some shit like, falls to the Viking. That's all I remember. The falls to the like you. Some falls to the like you. Be careful. Take my dog. She might bite you. And then the dog, he go, and then the dog go, arr, like, shit. No, look, then the dog, no, he said, the dog, she might bite you, something with him. And then the dog growled, he's like, chill, ma, let me get him. Listen to me.
Yo, hype man, but it was a dog.
Yo, listen to me.
Nah, no, guys, it's okay. Listen, guys, I yo, cut myself when like barbers cut me shaving, so this little white thing is a little thing. It's a black guy.
You got the mic. Wow. And I jumped on the stage.
Right.
And I said, where's Nas?
Wow.
Nas jumped on the stage, and I did my verse from a song called Set It Off.
Mm.
That was on one of the Poets albums.
Mm.
And now I did his verse from Live at the Barbecue.
Wow.
So I wasn't even on, and I still was showing love. That's how we was. You know what I'm saying? So I opened up for Eric B. and Rakim at the Apollo.
Wow.
So all this stuff, Steve need to chill because he didn't do his research. Right. He didn't like me. He took things personal, even with the. He took things personal, like.
You know what I think, Meg? I'm sorry to cut you off. And this is I'm not defending him, but what I think was he was invested in Nas and Nas. That's it. Anything came around or disputed Nas, he just didn't want nothing to do with it. He in that same show, he told me he hated on me to my face. He said, "I thought you ain't go hard, Nori."
Yeah.
He said that to my face. So.
Well, I'm gonna show you just how.
Okay. Well, I don't know what this is, but I'm in.
Complex Magazine interview with Steve Stout. There was an interview where Cormega saying you. There was an interview where Cormega was saying that you had a role in him being kicked out the firm. Hey, Steve, he was never in the firm, man. He should have never been in the firm. Believe me, he wasn't. He and Nas truly didn't get along.
You coming with the seats?
He paid for it.
Hold on.
Time out. Time out. Even when Nas was shouting them out on One Love, they weren't cool. That was cool. He just got out of jail. It took him a while to get acclimated to what was going on. Time out. Let me fix this right now.
Yes.
First of all, One Love came out. Steve, you wasn't even in the picture. You was not Nas' manager till it was written. When One Love came out, I was in jail. When it was, I was there when Nas
when
met
I was
you.
Cole Mega, you and Steve, are y'all together? That, yes.
Yes, Steve okay. wasn't around. Okay, I was there when Nas met Steve. So right now, you're giving the impression that you was there. You wasn't.
He's on fire!
Even when Nas was shouting them out on One Love, they weren't cool. That was cool. He just got out of jail. No, I didn't get out of jail. I was in jail. That's why he said One Love. Mm. One Love is a term of endearment that people write in jail. Right. When I was writing Nas from jail, I would write One Love to at the end of my letter. Okay? Now, shall I continue?
Yes.
That was cool. He just got out of jail. It took him a while to get acclimated to what was going on. In a business sense, he said in a business sense, and his manager at the time, a lot of different things.
And your manager at the time was Chris?
No, time out. He said, in a business sense, and his manager at the time,
Biz?
A lot of different things.
Biz?
Yes. Okay. Now listen to this. Okay. They didn't like Biz.
Okay.
Biz wasn't seasoned. He was new. But there goes Arrogant Mega again.
Right.
I gave somebody from the project a chance to be my manager.
Wow.
There goes me showing love.
Wow.
As usual.
Wow.
So Biz didn't have the savvy, business savvy of a Mark Pitts or a Steve or a Chris. Yeah. But he was somebody from the hood that I was trying to give a chance to.
Man, a Screw. But Screw, you know, Screw was a real intelligent, unique guy, man.
Wow.
Even in the midst of lean.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
I had an opportunity to meet that brother. Yeah. I have to tell this story,
please,
right?
Please tell
him. Yeah, he's a legend.
You know,
man.
DJ Screw, I ain't never told this story
please
in no interview.
Him. Yes.
But DJ Screw, when I met DJ Screw, DJ Screw was being extorted by an artist that was connected with me, and I didn't know nothing about the extortion, but I was the one supposed to be extorting it. So,
because of your back in that.
Yeah, yeah. DJ, he was paying an artist, right, a monthly. No, real shit.
Because they was connected to you.
Yeah, because
I was so spicy. This is Jay Prince money, nigga. Come on. I'm just playing.
The artist was telling him that I had
that
issue.
That you called.
So after he and I had an opportunity to get together in my office, I'm looking at the staff, right? And then he sit and looked at me. He said, "Man, you ain't nothing like they say you are." Right? So I'm like, "What you mean?" And he broke that shit down to me. He said, "Hey, man, had you been getting your money?" Right. I don't know nothing about your shit. Like a lot of shit go on, you know what I mean? That I don't know nothing about that I get charged. So, you know, Screw end up, you know, I end up falling in love with Screw, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I just had to say that shit. You know, ain't
that's also
an
artist was extorting him.
Yeah.
Using your name.
Yeah.
Holy moly guacamole. I'm not going to ask who the artist is. As much as I want to ask, I'm not going to do it.
Let me say this about him. He dead.
Oh, okay. God bless. We're going to
go. I didn't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right, but he not here no
God
more.
Bless. God bless. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. So.
You got companies out here selling clothes for $1,000 and people getting 10 cents an hour, but I ain't say that.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, man, no worries, bro. You got niggas out here saying they Muslim with a cross on their neck. You got people that saying they Jewish but charging interest to people that you know can't pay it. But in the you know what I'm saying? You got black niggas that say black power, but they'll shoot a op. So for a nigga like me, I just look at it all and just be like, shit, fuck it, I'm gonna follow love. I'm gonna be lame and lame.
I'm gonna follow love.
Nah, but I'm dead ass serious, bro. That would change. You know what I'm saying? Because Gemini niggas, we jump everywhere. But for a nigga like me, I just move in love, bro. So I know, bro, if I get popped today and go anywhere, I know I'm going to heaven. I know for a fact that I'm not going to hell. I ain't do nothing hell bound ever. I don't lie to niggas. I ain't capping. I don't have to lie to get money. I don't give a fuck what you're making, bro. Because if I'm in your pocket, nigga, I'm ready to rob you.
Right.
So anybody in your pocket want to know what you're making, you better believe they'll rob you. So I don't want you thinking like that, because I was with all that shit, and I grew up around it. So I just do shit out of love. You know how many niggas try me and say shit every day that I hate sometimes? And even them all, hey, guy with your frame, why are you playing football? Who, you play football?
Wow.
That's disrespectful. It's fuck, nigga. I'm a big black guy, so I look like I play sports.
I like to keep my mind together, but I love to show people, especially in this society, for the bitch-made motherfucking pussy boys, to be honest with you,
okay, that
instant gratification does not exist.
Ooh.
So therefore, to be 15, I've been 20 years in the game. You've been in the game, what, 25?
Something like that. It's 97. Since 97. All right, I don't know
so
that.
1923.
So, yeah, yeah,
so
there you go.
You know, you're 23 in the game. I've been in there since 99 was my first contract with Luke.
God bless
you. I remember getting on, I remember seeing y'all in about 95, 96 when I was around certain people in,
you know what the crazy
beautiful
shit
women
is?
In Kendall. I loved them some crazy hood back then.
When I Google you, you know what it says? It says, your first break was on a Miami mixtape.
Yeah.
And I wanted to wonder, was that something that intertwined with you guys, or break it down? Because
I did a lot of mixtapes. They did a lot of mixtapes, and then we would get together to put together different verses on different things.
Mm.
But to get to any fan at the time was like getting to a Flex in New York or getting to a Clue.
Was he
so
a dick?
I had to earn my stripes. I had to earn my respect.
Was he a
dick?
Was he a dick?
Nah, never.
As me being a man, people got to pick and choose. Listen, people got to pick, because I'm going to tell you, people got to pick and choose. That was the right time for him to say that.
So
niggas got to use their weapons when they can use them. He was supposed, because he was trying to prove a point to you.
What I'm trying to say is this. And please, at 47 years old, don't tell me how I should feel about
nothing. Nah, nigga, I'm telling you a hint. That's what I'm around you for.
Time out.
That's what you love about
allow me to speak.
Yes.
And I do love that, but allow me to speak. At 47 years old and having a family, I've learned one thing. Nobody in this world can't tell you how you feel. You feel how you feel because of a reason. It's not to say that nobody can't give you clarification about how you feel, and then maybe you'll feel differently after you have the discussion. That's not what was presented to me. Point blank, I love Herb. There's nothing, just to clear up everything, to this day, Irv can't go through nothing, and if I'm there, I wouldn't stand there and be like, nigga, it's us to the end. Still.
Hey, you love me? You hear me?
Stop.
It takes the tension off of you. You're Mike Geronimo, nigga.
Let's talk about
Mike Geronimo, my nigga. I love you, bro. I'm here to watch you, my nigga. Crazy?
I'm not in danger of jeopardizing where I stand with people.
Nah, we ain't got to talk about nobody else.
Telling them my office.
Nah, you got it. That's it.
Allow me to just speak uninterrupted.
I'm going to watch you. Go ahead. I'm here for you. I'm going to protect you always. You know that, right?
So what I would say is this.
Respect that.
Because of what we did as people, and because of the amount of lives that we changed from just one record, I will always love Irv Gotti. I don't care if Irv Gotti does a movie. I don't care if Irv Gotti does another artist. I don't care if Irv Gotti does Murder, Inc., the reboot. I love Irving Lorenzo.
Oh, let's make some noise for that.
It ought to be an Audubon. Yeah, this is like at least 40,000 less than Audubon. Yeah, I paid $350 for this. This is ought to be.
It's at least $40,000
less. This ought to be. Maybe I ought to be. You feel me?
I should have let you win.
You should have let me win. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm a screw up on the passenger side. So on, the best, on my best
at
friend
least
ride.
$40,000 less than all of
yeah, yeah, who the fool?
But they trying to rob you for that on your block, right?
Yeah, they definitely did. But I pushed that other one in the name of Jesus in the nick of time. Wait. And the police came.
And you told on them.
And when I tell you,
I hit the phone.
When I tell you, they came on time and I pressed charge to the fullest extent of the law to keep my order be. Maybe I ought to be.
They say you got an order be.
It's an order be.
Order be.
That's right. Hey, what Drake say? Yo, even when the Phantom's rented, them hoes want to get in it. Even when it's rented, they want to get in. They know what this is and they know what it ain't. And they know what it should be.
It should be?
Hey, and yo, everybody can't rent a Ferrari. Hey, am I right?
Facts.
You see what I'm talking about?
That's a fact.
Come on, this is one of the best replicas you'll ever get in your life.
Let me see.
This is top of the bottom of the line.
It's USA Flea Market's best seat.
Top of the
bottom. That's USA Flea Market right here. So I'm gonna go put that on USA.
It ought to be.
Right, he say he got an order B.
It ought to be real.
It ought to be real.
Ring. The ring.
Oh no, the real is actually a ring.
The ring is actually real.
Let me tell you something. Fun fact about the ring, right? This ring was bought by DMX. To my man, his name, he was going by Butt at the time. He was his
Kenny Butler.
Kenny Butler.
Oh, okay. How you get Kenny Butler's ring?
He became my personal assistant, and he owed me somebody because I advanced him, and he didn't have nothing to cover it. And he gave me the ring, and I gave him
Can I hold that ring for a minute? I just wouldn't touch it. I just want to see.
Man, take the kiss, man. You gonna give me my shit back, man? You gonna get? Cause
I think I seen Bubba with this ring.
This is the only real shit I got. Yeah, take the kiss. Don't do that New York shit. Cause I'm not gonna ask for it back. If you don't give it back, I'm gonna ask for it. I ain't gonna ask for it.
You already said you gonna tell, so you gonna get it back.
I ain't gonna ask for it. If you don't give it back, I ain't gonna. Man, is you
a nice ring?
I ain't gonna put it on you.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Get it? Yeah. That's how you ain't know what was going on in your crib.
That's my cousin. LaDarren. He has a gym company in Atlanta.
LaDarren.
You start doing cocaine around parks.
Now, man, listen. I've been doing cocaine since I was 15 years old, Nori. Ain't about nobody. Ain't nobody's other story. Nori, we're not going there.
No,
me and you have been in situations that we might not want to speak on.
No,
Wait, let's remember whose records got played on Hot 97. Let's remember whose records got back on Hot 97.
Yeah, yeah, and they banned me. That's very true.
Yeah, we're going to that as well, James. We're going to that as well.
We're not going there. No, you don't want that.
We're
going
to go to the nice version.
Okay.
Buffalo was a different thing. A lot of people don't know the poverty
of Buffalo. Like, that's one of, like, that in Detroit is a very, very, very poor place. Right. But a lot of people, when they think of Buffalo, they think of the Buffalo Bills and they think of Buffalo Wings. Mm-hmm. Y'all motherfuckers are selling cocaine.
Everywhere, man. It's a ghetto everywhere, and you know, man, it's just, we just wanted to bring that feel, man. Our aspect, you know what I mean, of the story of the streets, man. How we do it up our way, so you know what I mean. We just always focused on that, being ourselves.
I respect that so much, and I respect y'all because how y'all stayed true to the game. Like, y'all could have tap danced and did with all that.
Like everybody.
You didn't follow what nowadays people was doing.
Yeah.
What made you want to keep it so true?
Honestly, just having confidence, man, in our shit. Like, we knew, like, shit, our shit was ill too. So it's like, we could be ourselves, and you know what I'm saying? And we kind of live that lifestyle anyway, this shit that, you know, niggas be rapping and snapping about, but we just do it a different way, man. Like you said, we from that vein of like y'all niggas, you know what I'm saying? So we just try to keep our shit official like that and just be ourselves in the city, you know what I mean?
Now, Trash, you got a very, very rich history now. What I mean by that is Marley Marl came on here. Marley Marl said, in a lot of ways, Nori, like, I made Drink Champs. And he was kind of...
I don't remember saying it like that.
He didn't say it like... I put a lot more on it.
Put some sauce on it, baby.
But he was kind of like, yo, if it wasn't for what he did, maybe I wouldn't have been here. In a lot of ways, he's right. So I want to take it from you from the beginning of... Because Queensbridge just seemed like... You know, honestly, now that I'm living it, but I didn't realize how rich I was having a Queensbridge affiliation. Like, I didn't realize that till I actually became a grown man. No, for real, I know you're laughing, stop. But you know, let's think about it. Yeah. You really had MC Shan, Marley Marl, Roxanne, Nas, you, Havoc. Like, y'all all from that, like, this is crazy. So how did you know what to do? Like, how did you know to get at Marley?
I just look at it like this, like, you know, I had a circle around me that helped set the standard for what I had to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As long as you got certain elites around you.
Tragedy, bro.
Yo, where my drink at, man? Hold on.
You gotta get it.
Respectfully.
Come on, man. Drink some Ace of Spades, baby. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Sean, I'm over there. I see you with a bottle of Dom Perignon. I'm telling you, I'm telling Jay-Z on you, bro.
Let's go. Taking a shot?
Shot. You want to get the shot? I'll do a shot.
You get to the shot.
Let's do a shot. I'm going to shot you. Because I sipped I sipped the motherfucking, what do you call it? But we ain't got, I'm black. You ain't got watermelon?
No.
I like the watermelon. I'll take some fruity vodka we got. Nothing fruity?
Right.
What? Okay, right, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, so, yeah. I don't know if y'all know, but this show is about celebrating.
Yeah,
thanks. And Trash, I wanted to get you back to that, but let me just give you more flowers. Let me give you more flowers. In case you didn't know how much I appreciate you, like, I really do. You know what I'm saying? I know me and you, we like each other sometimes, so we bump heads. But just in case you don't know, if it really wasn't for you, I really wouldn't be here. Like, you actually pushed me, you gave me the battery on my back, and you helped me mold to who I am. So in case I never told you that to your face, I want to tell you that to
my
your face.
And
I appreciate you. Yeah, these motherfuckers. I want you to know that, bro. You know what I'm saying? I want you to know that.
It's an artifact. It's an artifact.
So can I continue?
Yeah, like I was saying, man, it all boiled down to me having a certain kind of standard around me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, once I got that standard from them, I was able to alley-oop that bag and alley-oop that standard when I start moving with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I might have been, you know, a little aggressive with my approach at times, but at the same time, I'm around G-Rap, I'm around Kane, right. And these dudes at that particular time, right. They sharks.
Right.
They assassins.
Yes.
So I knew I couldn't be the little dude and get drowned out. You know, we're not having that type of aura. So, you know what I'm saying? I had to get in. You know what I'm saying? So it was definitely a learning experience and a good alley-oop for me, man. Mm. And I appreciate, yo, like, even to this day, I always give
G-Rap Kane a backwards karate chop. Right. Molly give him a backwards karate chop.
Right.
Because they help, you know.
Because that's like difference. Because like, see, him in Buffalo, there isn't no other artist from Buffalo, right?
I mean,
it yeah, had to be somebody.
Been, yeah, it's been other artists.
They got right unsung there. Heroes, man.
Every city.
You know what I'm saying? He was one of the, you know what I mean, the elder statesmen that was just nasty with his pen and doing this thing in the town. So it was a lot of artists.
You got your
great
shot?
Artists.
Okay, here. Come on, you got that Duce? Yeah, come on, baby. We're gonna get right today. Because I imagine. Whoa, that's very true.
Mariah was different. And I'm gonna tell you why Mariah was different. Because it was your turn, in my opinion, looking from the outside in, not to be selfish. Because the Mariah record is not with you by yourself. Are we clear on that?
Very clear, my brother.
This is the flip mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baby, would you give it to me? Would you give it to you? You know what you want. You know I got it. I know what you want. You know I got it. That was with your crew.
Yes, sir.
What made you say, I got a favor from Mariah Carey, the princess, from the Alps of Everywhere?
The Alps of Everywhere?
No, I didn't think of anything else.
She's
such a beautiful person. She's an angel. Like, every Christmas carol should be her. every time Santa Claus comes to see you.
She needs to use that as well.
Every time Santa Claus comes to see your kids, in my mind, Mariah Carey's driving the city. You said to yourself, I can take my Mariah Carey favor, Dolo. But you said, let me put my crew on.
Let me be honest. I made the record with my crew before we called Mariah.
Mm. Mm.
Because
she was Plan B?
No, she was never Plan B. She was always Plan A.
Okay.
But see, the collective of all of us was the Plan A. Right. If the collective of all of us didn't work, then I would have had to create a Plan B.
Was Tupac almost in the Goody Mob?
Yeah, he was. One time, man, we was in the warehouse, Goody Mob was about to perform. His pops just walked up to me, told me that Pop was trying to get with us. You know, I say he wanted to do some music, he was trying to see what he could do to get with us. He was in jail at that particular time. She gave me all this information. He was in Clinton at that time. So, you know, we were just, I don't even know how much we even discussed it, because it was just so surreal, you know what I mean, that how we going to get you out of jail, you know, we didn't know nothing about that. I'm talking about less than a month later, he was signed to death row, you know what I mean?
He called the office. Yeah.
Wow.
He called the office. Looking for some family, man, somewhere to belong, somewhere to be safe, man, you know what I mean? Some good people
That's
to be with.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine.
That would have been
y'all kids too at the time.
Yeah, still.
So y'all ain't know how to handle that situation. Y'all ain't know how to react. Or did y'all?
We did, because he was a comrade.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And we would have loved to have him on board. Right. For real.
And so he asked to actually be a part of Goody Mob?
Man, he asked to be a part of the mob. That's what the girl was telling me. At that time, I was speaking through her. I couldn't talk straight to him. He was in prison.
Right. Everybody got a shot, because my shot is ready.
This is crazy.
So, all right. And remember, listen, we going right back to Tupac. This is deep.
Hey. Cheers.
Oh,
cheers.
Remember that time?
Yes, sir.
That was a different era.
So you hit me and said, yo, I just sent Michael Jackson some beats. I didn't know, understand his talk. Because I'm like, damn, I'm not in no Michael Jackson era at all. So I'm like, word? You said to me, he told me, nope. I don't think Nori will rhyme on that. Nori will rhyme. I was like, my life is done.
Yo, John McClane was his manager at the time. We sent him pretty much all the stuff you guys are hearing on the first Justified album. That's all the Michael stuff.
Wait, I'm talking about Justin.
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. All but one song. They were all written for...
Michael.
Michael.
What era of Michael's is this? Remember the Time era?
This is right at the Super Thug. Right.
You Rock My World.
Okay.
Right before that. Mm. And John McClane was like, man, Michael don't want that shit. He want the shit that you giving Noriega. And I'm like...
I immediately thought of Michael with the Crips and the Bloods picture.
No bullshit. He was like, yo, he want that Super Thug, you know? Oh, what's that other one y'all just did? Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that would have been a crazy Michael. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.